Welcome to Family Guidons, the podcast created by military spouses for military families.
We're the ones holding down the home front during deployments, state activations, and everything in between.
Here we have an honest conversation about the realities of military life, the highs, the hard moments, and the strength it takes to keep moving forward.
Whether you're new to the military community or a seasoned spouse who's seen it all,
Family Guidons is your place for connection, support, and real conversations.
Because no one understands life like the ones who've been living it beside them.
This is Family Guidons, Fall In. Welcome back, everybody, to Family Guidons. This is episode 3, and I am one of your hosts, Michelle Matheny. I'm a military spouse of 14 years, a mom to 3 little girls, a small business owner, and a huge supporter of our military community.
I'm Kathy Bridgers. I've been a military wife for 28 years and a military mother for 8 years. I have 2 adult children. One's in the military. The other one is a physical therapist. And faith, family, and friends are my cornerstone.
My name is Charlotte Stillwell. I am a military spouse of 31 years. I am the military mom of a son who is currently serving active duty. I'm also a Gold Star child. And today we have a great show. We're going to talk about how to stay connected while staying safe when everyone seems to have a camera, an opinion, and instant access into our lives.
This is Family Guidons podcast by military spouses for military spouses and all family members of the military. This topic is strong for all of us because in today's world, we live in fast news cycles, viral posts, heightened security concerns, and we hope that all family members can benefit from what we're talking about today.
Right, because it's really a balancing act, right? I mean, you're looking at social media and the online world as a lifeline for connection with your family and your service member, but also on the flip side, it can be a source of risk or anxiety or unwanted opinions from other people. So our goal for today's episode is really just to give family members some tips to help protect your service member, help protect your kids and your family, and protect your own peace online, I think, maybe more than anything else.
There are a lot of valid reasons to be on social media, especially when you've got a family member that's deployed. It's a great tool to stay connected with the person that's deployed, for your kids to stay connected, any family member. I remember when I first started having deployments, we didn't have any cameras. We didn't have any social media. It was maybe a 10-minute phone call through the DSN line connecting base to base, and sometimes it would drop after a minute. It's a totally different situation. So social media does give us that avenue to kind of connect face to face that we didn't have long ago. Maintaining friendships across moves, military, a lot of people can move, even in the Guard. You don't necessarily live right by your station. And it's a good way to stay in touch because they do kind of become family. The other military members that you serve with, the other wives or spouses, become family and you can stay connected. It's also a way to find support groups and find base information because, sometimes there's a good way for people to pass down information about what's going on and sometimes there's not. So it's nice to be able to get online and get up to date on what's going on.
I definitely love the connection aspect of it for, for family. I mean, my family does not live here in South Carolina. They're all over the place, but I grew up in Ohio. So my family, I don't see a lot. So I get the connection and the updates and, sharing the photos and what's going on in your kids' lives and that kind of thing. And also, like you said, for past, duty stations or other military spouses, I mean, I still have a ton of people on my Instagram and Facebook feeds that were friends of ours from Germany 11 years ago now. Mm-hmm. We don't see them in person because they're still there or they've moved on to somewhere else. But having that social media connection helps you, still feel those ties and remember those memories from, the good times you had there. So,
And I think a lot of people rely on social media as a way, as like a history of their family.
Yeah.
It's like a photo book or a yearbook. And people actually get to comment on your pictures, on your family photos. They're not just stuck in an album somewhere. And that feedback does serve as connection. Yeah. Your family, your friends, your neighbors are seeing some of the things that you're doing. And, you know, we all crave that connection. And especially, you know, there are times when we are facing some difficulties, just having somebody say, oh, that looks like so much fun, or you must be so proud, that validates us. That that helps us to be seen and
absolutely
connected.
Makes you feel a lot less isolated, more connected. I've got a story that kind of pertains to that. My son Austin was deployed not too long ago, and the information I was given was that they needed an armed escort to get them from where they were staying to where they would be working each day and back. So as a mother, you can imagine that was a little stressful, sending him off into that kind of a situation. But he knew I was worried. He used Snapchat to send me pictures of him with his coworkers, or just eating local food, or a hat that he bought downtown that was kind of, you know, local fashion. And it was enough to just kind of like help me breathe again. I felt like I was holding my breath almost the whole time he was gone. So it was really sweet of him to do that. And it made a huge difference for me.
Yeah. That fast info, like, you know, getting that right away, as opposed to, like you said, in previous deployments, even with Bill, you know, when he deployed 13 years ago, we talked a little bit, you know, through video chat or whatever, and a little bit online, but it wasn't like it is today. But to get that almost, you know, instant feedback of knowing that, okay, today he did something fun, or it's not maybe as dire or as scary as you think it is in your mind, because you can see them doing other things.
A little bit of
normalcy.
Still
getting to enjoy.
Yeah,
exactly.
I kind of missed those times in terms of, first of all, when Rob was in Afghanistan, I don't think Facebook had quite, it wasn't what it is today.
Right.
Or Instagram. And then he has no social media presence outside of the National Guard. He does not have a page. He doesn't have Snapchat chat. He would have no idea what in the world that was about. As a matter of fact, he calls it Instabook instead of Facebook or Instagram. It's, you know, that Instabook thing. So, you know, we didn't necessarily have that connection. And I think we're going to talk about how to have connections outside of social media a little bit later in the podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You also made a really good point, Kathy, about, you know, using it to find like those support groups, those spouse groups. So I think it's a great resource for seeing what's out there. Mm-hmm. You know, every platform, every group, every club has a Facebook page now or an Instagram account that you can follow. So you get the information, and then hopefully you can take the relationships offline, right? Mm-hmm. So using it more as a resource than just your lifeline for all of your connection.
Right.
So I think that's a really great point too. And I think, you know, like you said, it does make things easier.
That's a great point, Michelle. Keeping everything online it's wonderful at times, but it can also lead to extra risks, security risks. It's a great tool to stay connected, but for our security and our sanity, we need to be careful on how we're using it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Social media definitely has its drawbacks. I have to admit, this is a safe place, I hope. I am very guilty of oversharing in the past, and, you know, and it wasn't that long ago. When Rob was deploying in 2020, he relinquished command of the battalion, and 2 days later, he was on a plane to Kuwait for a year. And
wow,
I, you know, posted those lovely pictures from the change of command ceremony, and the last slide was a picture of Rob rolling his big military suitcase, that rolling suitcase with his backpack on, walking into the airport.
Mm.
And then on the backside of that, I posted a countdown. You know, 3 months out, 1 month out.
Yeah.
3 weeks out. I didn't identify anything else about that. I wasn't saying what unit he was with, or because he wasn't. He was on loan to the big army, and he was there solo. And I thought, well, you know, I'm not revealing anything. But in fact, I was. Yeah. I was revealing that I was home alone.
Yes.
You know, it was a time when I was an empty nester. The children, you know, were adults and or still are adults, but no one was living at home. But I just broadcast to the world, hey.
Scary.
This person's at home alone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And little things like that you need to think about. It's not just for the sake of our soldiers. It's for our sakes as well.
I think that's one of my biggest concerns when I see some of the posting and things that are going on with other, you know, military families, is I know everybody has their own comfort levels and what they're willing to share or comfortable sharing, and, you know, the amount of, I guess, public knowledge of their life. But it does just make me so, you know, concerned for their safety and just, like you said, for kind of their peace of mind. I have a hard time balancing that because, you know, I want to show support. I want to show, you know, for their unit and what they're doing. But even things like, and this is, you know, kind of taking it offline, but even things like having a yellow ribbon, like on the house, or, you know, the blue star, like flag. And you could take that a lot of different ways, I suppose. It could just be support of, you know, of the troops, of the military in general. But it does make me kind of pause and think, like, how much do I want people knowing, you know? And I think online just magnifies that, right? One of the things that we talked about in the SFRG and that we sent out in a recent newsletter was kind of framing it in the perspective of, would you want your adversary knowing this, whatever that might be, you know, whoever that might be, whatever situation. But if there was someone somewhere in the world that wished you or your family or your service member ill intent, would you want them to know this piece of information? Right. And if you wouldn't, then it probably doesn't belong on social media, but that can feel really overwhelming and limiting, I'm sure. But I tend to go in like the extreme direction. I was you probably in his last deployment, and this time I think something about having the kids also has just made me even more fiercely protective of my family and my peace. And I mean, I don't put hardly anything on social media. I'm not hardly on it these days, but when I do, I try to be very intentional about it being helpful information to someone or passing on a resource, and not much about my family. And that's just kind of how we have chosen to, you know, to do that right now.
And I think that's so smart. Yeah. So while we're talking about, you know, me spotlighting the fact that I was home alone, I do think it's important that we discuss OPSEC or operations security. I'm going to refer to my notes. There are some things that just can't be posted, and I'm just going to list those. For instance, exact deployment dates, locations, and movement timelines, photos, videos that show unit identifiers, equipment, or even screens, and then also the real-time location tags from base and training areas. These are just off-limits. Mm-hmm. And, you know, aside from that, in thinking about something not specific to post, even if somebody, say, posted a selfie at an airport and put it together with a countdown, somebody could piece that information right together, especially if they've seen unit identifiers or any kind of information like that on, say, a uniform. That can be pieced together by somebody who's watching. And you know, I know we like to think nobody's watching us. You know, I'm just me.
Right.
I guarantee you we are.
And it's not even just people anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's chat bots, it's AI, it's absolutely all the capabilities that can make technology really amazing can also be used, you know, for bad. I always think when I see, you know, scammers and all that kind of stuff, I'm like, if they could use even like a bit of that energy towards something good, imagine what they could do versus, right, you know, using the powers for evil. But it's so true. Like, if we're friends on Facebook and you post one little tidbit and I post another and you piece those things together, and that's information that you don't want people to have. So that whole, like, the small bits make a really big picture that maybe you don't want to paint on the internet. I think also one other thing, you know, that I have been really cognizant about in this time for us with the deployment is the information that I share even to other family and friends verbally or in person. So your service member knows that they can trust you with specific information and that you know not to put it on Facebook or, you know, whatever. But you also have to be really aware of who you share that information with and what they're going to do with it. Mm-hmm. Because, again, it may be well-meaning, but when somebody asks for an update on what your service member is doing, and then, you know, they turn around and they take that information of, oh, I'm so proud of my buddy who's, you know, doing this, and they put it online. Well, again, you've painted a picture you don't want to paint. So you can, I think that's a tough thing. Like, you can have those conversations with your service member. You can know information. It's just what you do with that information that you have to be really careful of.
And along that line, sometimes we have to have conversations with family members.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think at one point I had to say to my mom, we can't talk about that on social media. Mm-hmm. Don't comment, or, you know, don't post that picture, you know, and you know, it kind of got to a point of, is it safe? You know, I'm going to take a picture. Can I do something with it? No, mom, no, mama. That's for you. That's for you
asking.
For now. Yes. So, it doesn't hurt to have conversations.
Even
with
on
families.
The telephone, I think we need to be careful what we say on the telephone to people. And I think having the conversation with all your family members, anybody you're giving information to, you kind of have to have the OPSEC conversation. Right. I even asked my husband and my son if it was okay, how much I could share about that story that I just shared. I'm like, can I say that you needed an armored? And they were like, yeah, you can do that. So I've kind of gotten the habit of just, that way I can blame it on them if it ends up being that it's not
exactly
a good idea.
Like, am I allowed to share this or am I going to get you in trouble, right?
You said I could do it.
Yeah.
So you're asking, and that's a good tip. There are a couple of other tips, and this, I am not technically savvy, so I would have to ask my younger children or younger friends here how to do something. But there are some tips. For instance, it's suggested that you turn off the geotagging and live location sharing. Gosh, y'all, and that's important, not just for deployments. Side note. Use privacy settings and friend lists, and regularly review your followers. Sometimes followers can sneak in and you just don't realize it. A couple times I've looked through and thought, I don't know who this is, and immediately deleted that person. Also, as you said before, think before you post. Pause before you post.
Yes.
Are you revealing any kind of information that, if it fell into the wrong hands, you know, could they get information we don't want others having?
I think another really good one to kind of go along with this, and we use this in our regular life, even outside of the military stuff, but when we go on a trip or do something fun that we want to remember, right? Like, I love those memories that pop up. They're probably the best part of Facebook, but we don't post about that stuff until after we get home.
Yes.
So, like, if I, you know, like, I took the girls on a trip for Christmas, and I actually don't think I posted anything about it yet because that's the mode I'm in. But normally, if we go on a vacation, like, I would wait to post some highlights until we got back home. Mm-hmm. Right. So that people don't know that our house is empty or that, you know, we've been away or whatever it might be. So I think it's just, it's not nobody's saying you can't share, right? We all crave that connection. It's just doing it in a way that is as safe as possible for everybody.
I think remembering to talk to your kids about it, because we didn't grow up with the phones. So it's not like my automatic bend to post something. I just don't post. But my kids grew up doing that.
Right.
And so, you know, I'll have to remind them, don't, you know, you can do a post, but please wait until we're home, or please wait until the deployment's done, just as a reminder.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And, you know, kids are getting phones and access to the internet so much earlier now than they ever did. And, you know, again, because they want that connection, which I get, but they don't have the tools yet to understand the power of it. So those conversations are really, really important.
So this might be a good spot for an email that we received from Oren.
Yeah.
Oren is a military husband, and he wrote in.
Love that.
Yay.
He wrote in when we had announced our topic. In my case, when my wife has been deployed, communicating with the family has been very important. I was responsible for our three children during two deployments. I'm a police officer, so I made being mindful of surroundings and making intentional choices a priority and second nature. Where we went was planned. I avoided situations where paying attention to my kids was a challenge. I recommend always paying attention and trusting your instincts. Preparedness is not about fear. It's about feeling confident and calm, knowing you've thought things through. I also set clear boundaries, especially online. I found this to be one of the most effective ways to protect my family. Limiting how much of my children's lives was shared publicly and keeping personal details off social media, I felt reduced unnecessary risks. These small proactive steps help preserve privacy in a world where so much information is easily accessible. At its core, protecting your family is about being mentally prepared, supporting one another, and knowing you can handle challenges together if they arise. Staying grounded doesn't mean expecting the worst. It means creating a home built on awareness, trust, and care. Thank you, Oren.
Yeah, I love that. And I think the first part of that, again, could be a whole nother episode. It makes me smile because it is very much how Bill thinks and what he has always done for our family. So trying to, you know, take over some of that. But I think the bigger part of that for me is, you know, what he said about protecting his peace, protecting their boundaries as a family. And so talking a little bit about that, I mean, you know, like we've already said, there's such a huge pressure to post everything, to be, you know, transparent. And I think it's okay to say that that does not work for my family ever, or in this season of life, it doesn't work for, you know, for our family. And I think there's a lot of well-meaning pressure, people who want to know, like, where is he? How is he doing? You know, what have they been up to? Is he staying busy? And, you know, those are all very well-meaning questions, but frankly, none of most people's business. And I think you can say that in a nice way, or just avoid those topics. I have also found it very helpful to have kind of a pre-planned response to those nosier questions. You know, when someone, again, well-meaning, but when somebody asks, like, oh, when is he going to be home? Or how much longer do you have left? To just say, you know, we don't talk about dates or, you know, countdowns, but we're hanging in there. And, you know, it's good to see. Well, I'll mention sometimes, you know, we have a little countdown at home where the girls move a pom-pom from one jar to another every day. So sometimes I'll make a comment like, it's good to see the jars starting to even out a little bit or something like that. That's, you know, friendly and engaging, but kind of very clearly draws that boundary of what I'm not going to share. So I think above all, you know, figuring out what your healthy boundary is and setting that. And sticking to it is a great idea.
We used to kind of jokingly say, I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you. Right. Just to kind of change the subject.
Yeah. Hang on, right?
Keep it light, but you get my point.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of, well, first of all, back to what Oren said, I do like that some, and you said this as well, some pre-thought. Mm-hmm. Come up with a plan beforehand, what you're going to allow to be put out there. But this also is important for children. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not a big gamer, but I do understand there are chat functions available within games where right. people can talk to children. All of those things should be discussed before any kind of deployment. And really, just as a matter of healthy living for everybody.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a family social media plan, if you will,
absolutely.
Or online plan. Mm-hmm. And I think, above all, for me right now, what is very important in those boundaries is protecting my emotional and mental health and of my children also. So a lot of the boundaries that I have set for myself, you know, kind of include not getting lost in that scroll and just kind of that mindless consumption of things that are not doing anything to feed my positive mental health. So I really highly encourage people to use that X on social media and start unfollowing or, you know, muting people or pages or advertisements that don't serve them. Mm-hmm. You know, and it feels like a never-ending process sometimes. You know, you close something out, you say you don't like it, and it still comes up. But, you know, after a while, I feel like the algorithm gets the hint. Mm-hmm. But there's so much out there. You know, there's politics. There's just daily news that can be so sad and depressing sometimes. Drama in your community. Somebody's dog is barking and another neighbor is mad about it. Or, you know, drama within families that are not even yours. And it's kind of like that train wreck phenomenon, right? Like sometimes you just can't help but watch. But really, is getting involved in someone else's drama like adding to your peace, or is it just taking away the very little bit of peace you might have? So I have really tried to be conscious about just trying to get rid of the stuff that does not bring me joy. Marie Kondoing my social media presence.
I think that's great. Have you seen the brick devices? You can attach your phone to this device called a brick.
Oh,
and it limits, like you set up the boundaries, but it limits the amount of time you can spend on whatever app it is that you're wanting to limit. And you actually have to go over and tap the brick to allow access into that app again.
I have not seen that, but that sounds amazing.
One of my daughters uses that.
Wow.
She says it has really helped her manage her time even better. She's more productive in what she needs to get done during the day. But I do think it's important that we protect our peace. I pulled back from social media when I realized it was not bringing me the joy that it once did. Everyone has an opinion, and sometimes those opinions I don't agree with, and I just didn't want to feel bad or develop a pick or a grudge against someone that I love, but I don't necessarily follow their views. And it just, we should be able to have conversations, but some of those conversations should be in person.
Yes. Right.
And not online, where they can't be interpreted, they can't hear your voice, they can't hear your full concerns, because you can't really put it all out there. Mm-hmm. So
100%. And it's not just information, it's also misinformation. We have to be careful how we're digesting this stuff.
Right.
It's, unless you're doing the research yourself, you just have to take it with a grain of salt. And I agree, it's better to just not engage. If it's not going to lift you up, it's better just to let it go.
And I think it kind of comes down to, for me, controlling what I can control, mm-hmm. right? I can't control what other people post. I can't control the news cycle. I can't control, you know, the drama in someone else's life. But I can control what I put out there for public consumption and opening myself up to other people's opinions. I can control my privacy and my settings. I can control my reactions to those things. So just trying to focus on that. And then I think, you know, there are some other strategies, right? Like we talked about already, of just how you can use social media, but then try to take it offline and into the real world.
So there are some alternate ways of staying connected. You can use private photo albums that you have to log into and let family members see. That's not online. That's not, you know, putting information out
right
there. Cloud sharing, where you have access to a cloud account. That's another way. If it's pictures you're after and you want family members to feel connected to what you're doing while your loved one is away, that could be a good use of media. But then also at the heart, if we're craving human connection, sometimes that's best done in person.
Mm-hmm. Or pick up the phone.
So much, absolutely.
Yeah.
Pick up the phone, but hearing someone's voice, reading their body language, mm-hmm. Feeling their energy mm-hmm. is the best way to feel connected to someone. It's a great way to check in on someone. Mm-hmm. I think it's time that we also consider, like I said, those groups, those social groups, picking up the phone.
Well, you know, you make a good point. And I think when I was thinking about this topic and what I wanted to say, like the piece of advice I could give to the listeners, if I could only say one thing, is to find that in person, that real life connection, mm-hmm. that even if you find it online, to take it off of there. Or it's so tempting and easy when you're feeling lonely at 10 o'clock at night to post a photo and wait for those reactions and affirmations to roll in. But sometimes it's even better to just have a friend. Like if you can find one friend or family member that you can, you know, kind of brain dump on when you need it. That's why some of the, you know, the other chat apps or voice, you know, messages or that kind of thing can be so helpful to make that connection offline. And I do really think, at least for me, it's so much more effective. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, you know, form the relationships or meet the people maybe online and then take it offline. I just had coffee yesterday with another spouse from my husband's unit, and we have both been struggling. Like, this mm-hmm. is a time of year that has just been really hard, you know, the letdown after the holidays, and it feels like the winter is never ending, and we're just kind of in that no man's land. And we sat in a coffee shop and we both cried and mm-hmm. we, you know, just kind of commiserated about the stuff that was hard. And I felt better after that hour long conversation than I have in a really long time.
Absolutely. Just being able to reach over
yes.
and put your hand on somebody's shoulder yeah. is a whole lot different.
Give them a hug.
Just give them a hug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or see that, like, emotion face-to-face and know that, like, you're not the only one.
Yeah, you don't want to see someone else struggle, but it makes you feel like you're human and you're okay when other people are having a hard time dealing with the situation as well.
I make it a rule to never let anybody cry alone, so that is mine. Oh, like, I'm not, like, a big crier, but when I see somebody else do it, I'm like, whoa, nope, triggers. That's not happening alone. Like, I'll jump right in and do that.
I might have to spray water in my face for that one. I can't make myself cry.
It's, you know, it's. I think the situation, there are a lot of emotions that come out that wouldn't normally in regular life that just feel amplified, you know, when you're in something like that with
definitely.
Somebody else.
Well, ladies, this has been a lot of information, a lot of good information, and I hope that it makes a lot of the families out there just feel better going into deployments, knowing how to plan. Social media can be a lifeline, but it can also bring risks along with it, and you can protect your service member, your kids, yourself, and your sanity if you just develop some clear guidelines, some clear boundaries along the way. Mm-hmm.
So listeners, we're curious to know, do you have any tips for how you've created a safe place for your family online?
I'm always looking for new ideas, yes. So we hope to hear from you. And if you've enjoyed today's podcast, we hope that you hit that follow button and follow us on whatever platform you use for your content. Even better, share this with another military family. And we are... teasing our next episode. So our next episode is one that really resonates with me right now, about 3 months into a deployment. We're calling it "The Days Are Long and So Are the Months."
Yeah.
And if you've been there, I guarantee you understand that. So thank you for listening to Family Guidons from the Bluff Road Readiness Center to wherever you may be listening. Until next time.